Welcome to part two of our conversation with Amanda Yenny. What are your thoughts on some of the devices that are out now today, like the Ovilus and things of that nature that use words, basically, where we're not necessarily hearing them physically say something on tape or things of that nature, but they're using it to pick the words as responses?
Well, I've been around those some. I will say first, I don't have a lot of experience with it. The limited experience I did have, and it was only very limited, very, very limited. Random. It was like a random word generator. I didn't find anything in context. I didn't find anything remotely dealing with even the place that we were at. So the other part, and let me connect that dot for you. When I go someplace, I do a full in-depth profile of where I'm at. So I start with the address. I dig in the parcel number. I look at land deeds. I look at every single thing that has happened on that piece of land and or building, including the owners. And then once I start getting names, I dive into the person, their history. I work with one of the archivists from state of Arizona. So I dive into the people. I also have a lot of paid search programs, so I can look into where a person lived. I can see criminal history. It's all public, publicly available, FYI.
Sure.
So nothing that's not publicly available. But I do all that. I also look at the environmental, just of the area, like what is it made out of? The rock formation, what is the typical weather patterns? Are there any fault lines nearby? So all the environmental information to create this profile. So if I'm hearing something like the random word generator, and it's just not in context to anything, it's hard to give that credibility. So, but then there are other pieces of equipment, like the real-time EVP. So you can wear your headphones, you can do it, you can hear everything. You're super hearing.
Yeah.
So we do know that EVPs, they pick up things we normally can't hear. And this allows us to hear it in real time. So I think that is fantastic. And there's always been a kind of a wish that we didn't have to repurpose equipment for our needs, that they were more developed. And I think we probably do have the right equipment already developed. We just need to figure out what it is we need and then use it in our circumstances.
Sure.
So, I mean, we can see the gases from the cosmos hundreds of light years away.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that we have the technology. We just need to figure out what we need. What do we need? And that's really where the big mystery is.
Sure.
We don't know how it's being generated. We don't know what is needed. So,
sure. It's interesting you mentioned the real-time EVP. This is something that I've been saying for, like, I don't investigate much. Me and my daughter go out and we basically do little investigations that, you know, we can talk about on the show, but we don't do anything super serious. But I've been saying for years the real-time EVP idea. I didn't know anything really existed for it yet. But that was just from radio experience, where it could be in a production room and there's a reel-to-reel recorder, you know, 20 years ago, in the studio, and you'd hit record on that and there would be a delay in hearing it being played back analog. And so anything that's playing through that after you're hearing the speaker, it was like a 0.5 second delay, is already on the tape. And and then you're hearing it back. And I said, something like that. That's the theory. That would be great for EVPs. So it sounds like there is something like that.
There is. And, you know, you have these ideas. Maybe you should, like, start developing.
Maybe.
Sounds like you had it before anybody else did.
I've talked about it on the air for the last 10 years. So maybe, I don't know when this thing came out, but maybe somebody grabbed it. So.
Somebody likely did. So I became aware of real-time EVPs kind of only recently. So you could have been a decade ahead of everybody.
I might have been. I don't know. I just prefer sitting here in the studio chatting.
Well, I mean, that honestly, this is where ideas come from.
Yeah.
It's, wouldn't it be great, because you did identify a need. And that's really where invention comes from. What is our need? But again, it's most of the time that doesn't happen until we feel the pain of it. Man, I wish I could do X, Y, Z.
Because my thought was if we could hear the EVP in real time, we could respond to it in real time rather than, oh, I got that. And you just keep randomly asking questions without any regard for what was just said. Tell me, what is this device that does the real time EVP?
That is basically a recorder that you plug in headphones.
Yeah.
That it like a microphone, it projects it out and it's very simple. I mean, it functions just like a regular audio recorder that you can plug headphones in.
I want to get
one. So you're really hearing it.
Yeah. Do you have one now?
My team has one. Okay. So I did not buy it personally, but our team lead.
Yeah.
It's his team. Okay. So he has one.
Interesting.
We all have various equipment.
Sure. So. That would be one I'd actually really, I've been getting some stuff here and there. I'd love to look into off the air. If you could send me a link to what that specific device is, I'd be very interested.
Absolutely.
Because that would be fun. Let me ask you this. Your thoughts on the field here as we look down the road 20 years from now, with all the advancements that we've made thus far, where do you think it's going to be? Just your gut feeling.
Well, there's a lot of hope that I will say of where I want it to be. Realistically, where I think it will be, that can be kind of a loaded question.
More Travel Channel shows, and that's about it.
Part of me thinks that it's going to be pretty similar to what we're doing now.
Yeah.
We'll have different trinkets, different equipment, different things that we use. And we will, there will certainly be a segment of our community probably doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? How can I help you? And I'm the other part of the community, the part that I belong to that really wants to push and discover. And that's not to disparage anybody. The people that are really focused on the why, it is important to understand the why.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value in that too. So I don't want to discount that. But for those of us that care about the how, I'm hoping that we can shed more light and really push this forward. So I think it will progress. I don't know how fast, because obviously this isn't a subject that will be taught in college anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And it is, for a lot of people, relatively part-time. And we do have a lot of fame seekers, people that are just trying to get enough so that they can get recognized. But the people really pushing it forward to do these experiments, I think it's going to be slow, as a lot of research is. So in 20 years, I guess all I can say is I hope we know more then than we do now.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's interesting to think about. I think there's a lot of possibilities there. What I kind of wrestle with a little bit is, the idea of having more people accept this and then view it from that standpoint. We're talking about something that's quite a leap and bound for many to go, okay, I believe this, because it's usually one of those things, unless you have an experience or you're just kind of brought up that way, it's either there or it's not. There's not a ton of people later in life going, oh, I believe in it now, unless something happened. But we live in a society right now where most people can't believe or don't believe plain facts, where that are not that difficult to deal with. It's like the sky is blue. No, I feel it's more of a red because someone told me that, and I believe them. It's like no, it's blue. And if we're having that much trouble in our world, having people just decide what is a fact and what is not, when they're just truly clearly are facts and truths, and there's things that are falsehoods, I don't know how we're going to get people to go and jump onto this bandwagon, even if we have evidence that is 10 times more compelling than what we have right now.
Well, maybe we don't necessarily need to.
Yeah.
I don't think we really need society at large to accept this or do it. Sure. I don't think we're dependent upon that. As long as there's a group of people willing to discover it and willing to do the work and willing to do the research. And the good thing is, if we prove it's true, and we let's say we achieve it. Mm-hmm. We prove it's true and we can do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it less true because they don't believe.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so for me, whether they do or not, you know, society right now is a hot mess. There's a lot going on. It's almost reminiscent of past dark ages. So maybe we'll have our Renaissance awakening soon. And it would be great if more people did accept it, but it doesn't really impact anything, whether they do or not.
Sure. So it's like, don't let it pull you down.
Yeah. I tend to kind of push that aside. It doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't change what I do, nor how I think. You know, you get into conversations. Well, I don't believe that. And it's like, well, okay.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly. No, it's weird because those conversations wouldn't have happened 10, 15 years ago where it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know how to respond to that one, but okay. Let's go on to, this is another question I have for you based on your experiences. Obviously, there's a lot of evidence that points to and kind of operate that, okay, you are here, then we're going from that point. And a lot of times we're assuming this was a person that lived and had a life, and now they're trying to communicate. What about those things that, you know, it gets obviously overblown on television, but things that were not necessarily people, and this could be demon, mm-hmm. angelic, whatever you want to call it, but something that basically never walked the earth. What are your thoughts on things like that being out there?
It is actually one of my favorite things to think about. So, you know, I've read a lot about, you know, multiverse theory. I have a lot of Professor Hawking books, and a lot on all of that kind of interdimensional. So the way I think about it, you know, life evolved here in our plane. Great. It's likely evolved in other places within our universe. But if this isn't the only plane of existence, if there are other dimensions, and you know, again, this is keeping in line with traditional physics that even Stephen Hawking wrote a book about, mm-hmm. why wouldn't there be some kind of life or entity there? I don't think that anything, and we'll call it living as far as living here or living there, mm-hmm. Perhaps it's just they have the ability to come here and we haven't figured out how to go the other way yet. A lot of people throw around, demons, angels. But for me, those are man-made terms. Mm-hmm. That's religion. And, you know, we think of, it's a demon because it's not nice. It gave me a demon name and now there's lore around it. Well, Christian mythology, Roman mythology, great. It's still a man-made concept. If mm-hmm. we're dealing with spirits that are nice versus spirits that are not, I mean, what do we call those?
Sure.
So, again, I think that's, to me, that's less interesting than really you're another plane of existence. How is that possible? So if that is, and we'll do the if then, if that is possible and they have a way to cross to us, then we should be able to figure out the reverse. So that is how I think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility because I haven't seen anything that would discount it. So nothing that proves it, nothing that disproves it. Mm-hmm. So it's wide open. I really like that. And I think it is far more interesting to think that there are, we'll say, other realms, for lack of a better word on my part. Mm-hmm. It's more possibility and it's more opportunity to understand the things around us in a vastly deeper level.
Sure. There's so many roads we can go down with that. I guess one quick follow-up I'll ask on that, and this could be probably a whole show of just talking about this realm, is mm-hmm. When you have, there's an overabundance right now of people who claim to be demonologists and things of that nature. There's some that clearly have done some work and have studied, and they, you know, they seem to have some legitimacy to them, but there's plenty who don't. And the ones, let's just talk about ones that seem to have, you know, some things going on where they've been to cases and seem to have done an exorcism or something and then truly do see some results and see something change with those situations. What are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of times they have to go through some sort of, you know, a man-made ritual, say this, say that, do the water here, do the water there. But yet somehow, sometimes these things at least the way it appears, do respond to the energy of that ritual or whatever being performed. Does, and this is where it kind of gets interesting, does it necessarily so much matter what's being said in the ritual, what religion it's attached to, or is it more so with performing that ritual, you are pushing energy? If it's something negative we're dealing with, there's positive energy being pushed that way. You're expelling it in the ways of these verses. You're expelling it in the way of these rites. But is it just your energy is going that way and it's pushing it the other? You could be, you know, essentially saying, you know, quoting Batman if you wanted to, if you had positive energy and believed it as you were pushing it out that direction. What are your thoughts on all that?
Several. And so I will start off by saying I haven't been involved with demonologists. Mm-hmm. So I do want to make that clear. So everything that I'm about to tell you is definitely just from my side.
Sure.
So for a couple of things, how is what they're doing? Because they're basically, they're going somewhere, they're saying words, responses, right? How is it different than going somewhere else, saying words, getting responses? So I would have to understand the difference between that. And we talk about positive energy, negative energy. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it, you know, positive, negative ions, positive, negative charge. So what exactly, how would that be defined? Is it intention? Mm-hmm. Is it visualizing sending hearts your way, you know, or sure, daggers? What does that mean, positive or negative energy? Mm-hmm. I think people are referring to intention.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we, I find it hard to separate, I'm going here, I'm saying certain things, I'm doing certain things, I'm getting a response. Well, that is kind of what we all do.
Yes.
Almost every investigator has their own ritual for what they do, whether sure, it's subtle or overt, how they set the room. Some people come in and lay out crystals and do all this stuff. And then how much is confirmation biased of what happens that now fit the narrative that they were trying to get? Mm-hmm. All of that, I would really need to go and like see the videos and study and be like, oh, okay, what is your situatedness? What did you bring to this?
Sure.
If you are so sure you are going to find X, Y, Z and you go in and do this and that's what you find, it screams confirmation bias to me. It screams that you have now fit this to your narrative. Mm-hmm. Is it really? And it's not to be, you know, mean to anyone or negative. That's just how science works. When I do my own experiments, I go and do the same thing to myself. What was my confirmation bias? Did I have any? I try to recognize that before I go in. I understand my own situatedness, what I'm bringing to it. I try to design my experiments and how I'm going to collect the data to be as bias-free. I have other people look at it. You need to break this apart. If you're so convinced everything is what you said and now you're accepting it and putting it out there like that, well, is it really? You know, in the study of demonology, again, you're studying man-made religions. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what religion it's attached to. So what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. I have a hard time. Mm-hmm. So in well, yeah, my experience talking, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but in my experience talking to other investigators and even some really well-known ones, you know, they will tell you that stuff's not demon. Everybody throws it around because yeah, it's fabulous right now and it's scary and exciting. And I don't know. It's just popular.
Yeah.
But they've all said, no, it's really not. Half the time, you know, what you think is a demon is a bad pipe. Yeah. Or something like that, that actually does have a natural explanation, but because you believe it is, or that person, not you, but mm-hmm, because that person believes it's a demon because the people being affected by whatever circumstances going on believes it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's very hard to convince somebody otherwise.
And that's very true. And another thing I found interesting about it is whatever religion it is that is going in and doing the exercising of the demon in whatever part of the world it is, you're going to have, it's not all just Christianity. There's many religions that have rites of exorcism. So, and if it's working for all of them, you know, then it's like, well, because one will claim, well, the only one that can do it is this one. The only one can do it, like, if it's just like, again, that's kind of where I go back to the intent of the energy. And it's like all of them are doing essentially the same song and dance, but it's different words and different that. And there's, in it seems in some cases, some sort of effect going on there. Go ahead.
Oh, so if we strip the words away, so it doesn't necessarily matter what we say, if it's all energy and intent, that's what we get a response out of. That seems more like we could recreate that with a greater level of success doing that in any investigation, sending out the same type of energy. If it's a combination of words and that, I should be able to take a person that can do an exorcism in one country, plop you down in another that's not your religion, and I should be able to recreate the same thing. I haven't seen that so far. I've seen that only, you know, a Christian demonologist can only excise Christian demons.
It doesn't make a lot of
sense. That is what it looks like on the surface. Yeah. And again, not an expert. I don't know. So I don't want any demonologists coming after me because they're mad. I'm not trying to disrespect what they do. I'm trying to understand it. And so that's the connection I see.
No, exactly. That's, I'm not trying to disrespect either. It's just I love your perspective on things. It's very refreshing and interesting to hear. That's why I want to throw those questions your way. Here's kind of on those same lines, and maybe we'll wrap up with this, where we're talking about, you know, if you believe this and then you go in and then you, it turns out, you know, you found exactly what you thought you were believing was going to happen. On that note, can we create our own hauntings? Meaning, an example would be where so many places now that are known to be haunted, you can, you know, rent them out and go and stay there and investigate yourself. If so many people are focusing on one location, and let's say the lore to it is something really dark and really evil is there, but all these people are now believing this and going in, going, there's something evil here, there's something evil here. You're going to naturally have some sort of level of fear going into that. And it's repeated over and over and over in the same place. Can that in itself create something, something that would be viewed as a haunting? I don't know if it's conscious or not, but just that collective, you know, idea pushing into one area makes something.
So that's interesting. I have thought about that. So going back to your original question, can we create something? We can certainly create our own belief in it. We can certainly work ourselves up to believe that we have an issue. So like I work from home now, I'm sitting in my house. I could get afraid and I could believe something is here. And in my mind is here, whether it's really here or not. Sorry, my dogs, I apologize. But going into a place and collectively doing that, and would it actually manifest something? Or because everybody coming into it, sorry, I have a Chihuahua, and so he's very vocal. So every place coming into, everybody coming into this place now already expects it. They're already now looking for anything. Again, going back to your confirmation bias, is now anything they hear feeding into that? Is it really an entity created, or is it now a new lady in white? People believe it, whether it was really there or not. But because they do, anything that they see contributes to that.
Yeah.
So if it is created, if something really exists there, we should be able, through various ways, to kind of establish that something different is there. Somebody like me coming in that doesn't believe it. Okay, well, here's what I understand is happening. Let's see if we can investigate that. Let's see if they're really is any type of anomaly going on. You know, and EMF is hard for me because every, you can't escape it. It's everywhere. I even have it down now. Like when I go into a place, I have my baseline EMF for what the building gives off naturally. So, which I think a lot of people do, so that's not new, but we're just going in and we're trying to measure, we're trying to do all this stuff. And I really think it's because we've collectively convinced ourselves that something is there. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe. I don't know if we could actually manifest an entity because of collective fear. Because, well, if that were true in today's current society and how things are going here in the US, mm-hmm. I think we would have manifested giant large monsters walking around because of the collective fear of certain people.
That wraps up the second half of our conversation with Amanda. A big thank you to her for joining us and sharing her thoughts and opinions on today's episode. And thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.